Hello there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire. And this is a special episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. It being Holy Week as I speak to you today, here's a message that we recorded at our recent Maundy-Thursday service. It's entitled, A Matter of Life and Death and Life. I need to make a confession to you tonight. I'm not particularly good with houseplants. It's not that I don't like them. I do very much, especially this time of year. There's nothing like something green and flowering to brighten up a room and take the edge off the lingering effects of this very long and very strange winter we've been having. It's just that I have trouble keeping them alive for very long. Quite honestly, most of the time it's my own fault, too. The inevitable, if unintentional, result of a lack of any semblance of care on my part. Inevitably, what always happens is that which was once a beautiful and thriving plant ends up withered, dry and drooping, its leaves falling and its soil dry and parched, pretty much dead and gone forever. Luckily, Lisa's a whole lot better at this than I am. But you know, there are those, maybe some of you, in fact, who just seem to have that knack with plants, a green thumb, as it were. And especially they have a knack with plants that are, by all appearances, dry and lifeless. People like that will take a plant that you assume is destined to be thrown into the trash, and they'll take it and they'll water it. They perhaps will repot it with fresh soil. They'll give it lots of TLC. And even then, as you watch people do this, you think to yourself, well, this is kind of pointless, isn't it? But sure enough, after a couple of days, you begin to see the plant's leaves start to lengthen and uncurl. It'll begin to take on a brilliant green color of life. And before you know it, more than merely just surviving, the plant's blooming. It's thriving like never before. It was even better than it was before in many ways. It really is kind of like watching the dead come back to life. A miracle where that which seems for all the world to be completely lifeless and hopeless is resurrected and, yes, redeemed. Now, when I see things like this, this is the way I think, friends. I always come away with the same thought. If only the rest of my life could be that easy. But, you know, we think that way, but we know better, don't we? Indeed, if there's one hard truth that most of us end up learning in our lives, it's that not everything can be so easily fixed and brought back to life. Death is a very real part of our lives, and not just physical death either. There's also the death of the heart, so to speak, the death of a relationship, the death of one's inner peace and self-worth, the fatal brokenness that comes about because of things like unresolved guilt and crippling shame and deep regret. Indeed, there are so many of us who go about our days pretty much just bearing all the broken and lifeless fragments of our lives. People who try by every means possible to come back to life, as it were, but having no success at all. I mean, bringing a houseplant back to life is one thing, right? But I ask you, can there ever be life again for such as these? Honestly, friends, I think that's one of the reasons why Maundy Thursday can be so very difficult for us. As Christians, you see, most of the time in our faith and in our worship, we are focusing purposely on matters of life and healing and blessing and hope. And, well, we should. Even when we are confronting the more difficult parts of our biblical truth, things like sin and judgment, and again, well, we should. There's ever and always the other side of that concern. In other words, that with confession and true repentance comes forgiveness and redemption. Even when we are gathering together to grieve the loss of our loved ones and in services of memorial and committal, we approach death in terms of wholly receiving God's sure and certain promises of life eternal. Death is not our obsession in this place. Life is what we embrace here. Life is what we accept and even received at the hand of an infinitely loving God. But tonight is a little different. Yes, we're singing songs of praise. Yes, we are about to feast at the Lord's table. Yes, we are hearing and reflecting on His word. But the thing is, on this Maundy Thursday night, that word is always right there. It inevitably and tragically leads us to death. Here, tonight, is where we confront the betrayal and desertion of the one who is God's Son. Here is where we witness His humiliation and His pain. Here is where we end up having to listen to the cries of the people who are shouting for His crucifixion, the very same people who were shouting out Hosannas just a few days ago. Here is where we are forced to wait beneath the cross, all the while watching the life slowly and horribly ebb out of Jesus, this one who was our teacher, our healer, our master, and our friend. Here is where we see death come and claim the Messiah. And here is where we do all of that, and we know there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. Because it isn't Easter. Not yet. Even though we know there's more to the story, it's not our story quite yet. This is Maundy Thursday. It is the night before Good Friday. And on this dark night, particularly fitting weather for this night, we have to face the blunt, cold reality of death in the grave. And doing that, then we got to go home. Many years back, there was a parishioner of mine who had passed away. And while I was at the visiting hours at the funeral home, the funeral director came up and asked if I might go and speak with one of the adult children of the deceased. This adult child had retreated, hidden, really, into the back room of the funeral home. You see, though this woman was at the time in her mid to late 30s, she had never had the occasion to go to a funeral, or never had the time where she had to actually view a body lying there in an open casket. So now, not only was she dealing with the grief of losing a parent, but she was also feeling a great deal of fear as well. And when I went to speak to her about it, she said to me it wasn't so much being in the funeral home that bothered her. Really, what was bothering her the most was having to see her father's body. And she explained, because if I go out there and I see him lying there, I'm going to have to face the reality that my father has died, and that someday I will too. I never forgot that. In fact, I would say she kind of offered up one of the truest expressions of grief I think I've ever heard. And though she probably didn't realize it at the time, one of the best explanations as to why this particular night is so difficult. Yes, death is the great certainty of our lives, it is true. And to see the Christ who represents and is for us the way, the truth, and the life, to face that one great certainty is overwhelming, because we are confronted with the reality of our death. as well, yours and mine. What we remember here tonight is truly a matter of life and death. But as we do, friends, we also need to remember that there is more here than what meets the eye. Death is a certainty, especially tonight, but when it's in God's hands, it's not the finality. And God proves this in the death and very soon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus said to them, very soon before all of this unfolded. "Those who believe in me, though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." You notice I didn't say that he said, "I will be the resurrection." Nor did he tell them that the resurrection is coming, so wait for it. But rather he said that "I am the resurrection and the life." Here and now, right in the midst of death's dark, grim reality, "I am the resurrection and the life." That is what we need to remember, beloved, as we make our journey to the cross. That ours is the God who creates life and hope in the midst of death, who brings sustaining love in the midst of all loss, who redeems despair through unending hope. The Reverend William Sloane Coffin, famous pastor, preacher, and activist of the mid-20th century, and one who himself knew the harsh realities of death, having lost his oldest son, Alex, at the age of 24, he said it very well, I think. He wrote, "Eternal life begins not at the end of time, nor at the funeral home, nor even at the moment of death. Eternal life begins right now. The death that comes to us is not the death that separates us from the love of God, for we know that the abyss of love is far deeper than the abyss of death." Beloved, as we now approach the cross of Jesus Christ, may we find ourselves caught not in the abyss of death, but in the abyss of love and life. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.
And that's the meditation we've entitled, A Matter of Life and Death and Life. And with that, we come to the close of this special episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. I thank you for listening, and until next time, may you have a blessed Holy Week and a very happy Easter. We'll talk to you soon.